Eligibility for coverage. So the basic requirement is that you have to be in compliance with all mandatory policies and in good standing. We have a specific way we make the Realtor Associations. They have to have their bylaws reviewed by NAR within certain time frames, and that's how they're eligible for coverage. What we would do for a chapter is we would call, Richard and Diana and say, hey, we got this claim from, the Houston chapter, or these guys, are they eligible for coverage? And so I don't know, I don't think SARA has any standards right now, but if they did adopt standards, we would check to make sure the chapter is meeting all those requirements. Like I said, there's also some other prerequisites for some certain claims, like employment claims, but not relevant to your group.
I got a question for
you. Yeah.
Yeah. Medical liability insurance.
Yep.
If we host a Christmas party and serve alcohol, SIOR, does the place we use with the liquor license have the liability, or do we?
So who, SIOR is the
one? Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, our chapter hosts a Christmas party and somebody gets in an accident. Is
okay, so.
The liquor license of the place we had?
No, I mean, you could definitely be sued for that. Yeah, I mean, you know how these lawsuits work. I mean, they sue everybody. I mean, they're not like, so will you ultimately end up being liable? That's debatable. I mean, that would be a question that would have to be, to litigate it. But you could definitely be sued for that, and that's why you want to have the insurance. And that's why, the things we're going to talk about, I mean, there's some examples we have, but, that's the things we were talking about this morning, that's why you want to be incorporated, because, that's when, if you're not incorporated, they're going to be going after the directors personally for that. So eligibility for coverage, we talked about that. So recommendations, I already mentioned this. What I would recommend is that if you do buy any insurance, that you take the NAR policy that Diana sends to you every year and you bring that to your broker, show it to them, and make sure, that, you're only buying what you need, that you're not buying other insurance that isn't necessary. Yeah, well, like I just said, and the other issue is, for liability coverage, you want to make sure you have adequate coverage, but you also want to make sure that, you're acting, you've incorporated and protected yourself from personal liability. And part of that is making sure not only incorporating, but also following all the corporate formalities so that there won't be any leakage over into the personal assets of any of the members or even leaking up to SIOR National. So other types of insurance needed. So, commercial liability insurance, that would be sort of the general insurance you would buy if you're having enough events that you think you need it. You want to look at the policy, obviously. You guys all know this. Make sure you're covering, what you need. So, if you're having events where there's alcohol, you need to make sure that's covered. You want to think about everything you're going to do and then go talk to your insurance broker, tell them what you're doing, and they'll help you find the policy that you need. It doesn't sound like any of you own buildings, so the property type claims probably don't need to be too concerned about that. I've already mentioned this, the event insurance is another option. You could buy insurance, event by event. That could, that could be a way to help protect you from claims. Doesn't sell auto insurance. I don't think that's an issue, but if you did have somebody you were, if you had staff people, you provide them with a car, you might need that. Fiduciary coverage, I'm sure you don't have pension plans, so that doesn't matter. You don't have employees, so workers' comp and unemployment aren't relevant either. But basically, liability insurance is the main thing you guys should definitely be looking at, because that is not covered through the NAR program. Okay, so now we have our affiliate chapter claim scenarios. So these have been, there's been some rather entertaining ones over the years with these. So one of our affiliates, actually in California, they decided to have a women's fashion show. And so they had the members came and they were, walking up on the stage. So I don't mean, the woman, so there was a rather large woman who walked up on the stage and she fell off the back of the stage. She actually had a history of knee problems that she claimed, so she had pre-existing conditions. She claimed it was aggravated by this. So she filed a lawsuit. Now, this chapter, you know, was not incorporated, and they were signing all the contract WCR. Like, well, that's the affiliate. It's the Women's Council of Realtors. So that it's an NAR affiliate, you know, but they were signing at WCR, like the national WCR, not, you know, WCR Los Angeles. So WCR National got sued, and they actually, you know, they do have liability insurance. You know, we got them out because they didn't have anything to do with this. So we got it, they got them out, but once the National got out, they, you know, so the plaintiff was left with this local associate, this local chapter. Local chapter, you know, like I said, was not incorporated. So they started going after the directors. You know, they started, you know, the plaintiff was gonna, was suing the directors personally for her injuries. And it was a nightmare. And, you know, these realtors were, you know, I mean, they, you know, they hadn't done very many things right. But, you know, this was, a, you know, this, if any of you, I'm sure all of you have been involved in lawsuits and you know what a headache it is. You know, there's discovery, there's, you know, they, you have to work with the lawyers. So, you know, actually the WCR National ended up sort of managing it and getting them out. But, I mean, it took a long time to do this, and it was a real headache. Yeah?
Who was the lady again? Was she a realtor?
She was a realtor, yeah. She was a realtor. Realtors sue, we get sued all the time by realtors. So.
Was she an organizer, though? Or was
no, she was just a participant. Yeah, okay. She just was in the fashion show, and she fell off the stage. But, yeah, the realtor associations get sued by their members for a lot of things. So, but anyway, yeah, so she, yeah, so I just want to, it's just a, you know, if this chapter had been incorporated, like we talked about this morning, you know, and if they had been properly, you know, signing their documents, you know, WCR Los Angeles, you know, first of all, you know, WCR National never would have gotten dragged into this, and it would have, you know, made, and it would have been limited to this small chapter, and, you know, more than likely, the plaintiff might have gone away right away. As soon as they discover, you know, this chapter has very limited assets, you know, that's might be the end of the game right there. And also, you know, if they had had liability insurance, you know, that too would have protected them. So, you know, there's a lot of lessons you could take away from this. But, you know, I think the real thing to take away, though, is you don't want to be in this situation. So you really, you know, you should think about always getting insurance when you have an event, and you should incorporate, because none of you want to have your personal assets on the line for, you know, participating in, you know, one of your chapter events. Another one, this one's another good one. So this one was also in California. So they hired someone to speak at one of their events. Well, actually, they didn't even hire him. It was more a promotional opportunity for the speaker. He did something in the industry, and so he actually wanted to come speak at the event. So they engaged him to do it. There was no formal contract. He angered, though, one of the organizers of the event, and so they said, well, you're not coming now, and so they fired him, even though there was no contract. So this guy then brought a lawsuit, and it went on and on. This one was covered through the NAR program. You know, like I said, the NAR program has breach of contract insurance, so that's what was alleged here. So this one was covered through the NAR program, but it went on for a while, and it was another real headache. We did eventually get out of it, but it was, you know, this was one where there was insurance through the program, but, you know, like we mentioned, the breach of contract coverage is actually going to be a little, it's only going to be $50,000 next year, so, which would probably have been enough to, you know, because that's all they're usually looking for is just the insurance money. So when you tell the plaintiff, you know, there's only $50,000 here, you can usually make these things go away, especially for something silly. Well, like this, there shouldn't have been a lawsuit, but anyway, we ended up spending, you know, it was all defense costs, but, you know, the insurance company probably spent close to $100,000 defending this silly lawsuit. So just shows, you know, why, this one, the NAR program helped, but, you know, another reason why you want to be careful when you're, you know, when you're out there doing these things, just, you know, do it like your regular business, because, you know, you could still get, even though you're doing it for a chapter, you know, the chapter can still get sued. Another good one, the balloon crash. So another one of our affiliates had a chapter had an event where they were auctioning stuff off, and one of the members donated a balloon ride through the desert. And, you know, the balloon crashed in the middle of its journey. And it was actually the former president of the chapter was on the balloon, and she threatened to sue them. And luckily this one went away, but this would have been a liability claim. It would not have been covered through the NAR insurance, but luckily people came to their senses and we were able to make this one go away. But it shows the kind of things, though, that can happen, you know. So, you know, when you're having an event, you know, where there's things being donated, you know, just make sure people are, you know, giving things that are, you know, they're not giving, you know, people riding a motorcycle 100 miles an hour, you know, jumping over cliffs and stuff, because.
Yeah, if you had event insurance, liability insurance, and chapter, and then they bought a balloon ride that's really just a donation for an auction at the chapter, I mean, are you going to be covered?
No, probably not. I mean, more than likely not. So that would be one. Oh, yes. So the question was whether the balloon ride would be covered under event insurance. And the answer is probably not. I mean, you'd have to look at the policy. You know, if you had general commercial liability insurance, then yes, then you would probably have coverage. But yeah, you'd have to look at that. Yeah, it's a good, you know, and also when you have something like this, you know, you want to have disclaimers everywhere, you know, and maybe even the people donating stuff, that they have a duty to indemnify the chapter if something like this happens, you know. Again, I mean, you know, it's not something you want to do, have to go after one of your members to defend you in a lawsuit, but, you know, if they give something that results in something like this, you know, you may want to have that protection. So, yeah, you just need to be aware when you're doing stuff like this that, you know, there are, you know, these things happen. I mean, we have these crazy claims that come up. Another one, we have a crime claim. I already talked about that. You know, one of our affiliate chapters had $30,000 stolen, and they actually got the money paid back. So that was a very surprising result from that. But so that shows that can happen. And, you know, your small chapters, you know, like we were talking about before, you know, where there's a lot of turnover, I mean, you know, you don't have staff, so that actually probably helps with the claims. But, you know, these types of organizations are prime candidates for, you know, embezzlement type stuff, because it's probably very easy to take the money. So you want to make sure there's safeguards, you know, in place to avoid stuff like that happening. You know, that could be like double signing of checks, things like that, you know, but you just want to make sure you have some policies in place and, you know, the checkbook isn't lying around for, you know, whoever the treasurer that year is to use for whatever they want. Another one, yeah, designation claim. So this one, the member was applying for a designation from the affiliate, you know, was rejected. It didn't meet the criteria that the affiliate had created, and so the member was angry and so filed something in small claims. A court wanted to get their application feedback. So it was a silly one, but just to show you the type of things, you know, I know SIR has a designation. So, I mean, these things can happen. So that one was covered through the NAR program. So that one was covered and we were able to, we won that one. So that was a great victory for us there. But anyway, you know, these things, just to show you, these are the kind of things that can happen. And, you know, these are why you want to do the things we've discussed today, you know, incorporate, you know, evaluate your insurance needs, you know, and also get the 501c6 status, because that'll, you know, make sure you're doing everything you're supposed to do, and also, you know, you avoid having to pay taxes on your related income. So, any more questions? Yes.
You mentioned before about.
You mentioned before about a speaker that was invited to an event, then he was told not to come, sued, big mess, so forth and so on. We have several events a year where we have, for lack of a better term, keynote speakers that come in.
Right.
Should there be some type of an agreement inviting speakers? Is there some sort of generic or some type of agreement we should use when we invite someone?
Well, you know, it depends. I mean, this guy, you know, yes, I would, well, I mean, as a lawyer, I would, of course, say yes. You know, I mean, it does help protect you, you know, and does make some obligations. Now, you know, if you're just having, you know, like another member, you know, come, you know, who's a prominent member and everybody knows him, you know, that may not be necessary. But if you're having an outside speaker, and this guy was an outside speaker, you know, he was coming. I mean, there wasn't like they were getting paid, but he was coming because it was in his economic interest. So, you know, there was sort of a quasi-contract there because he, you know, they were getting him for free, but he was, you know, looking at it like he was going to make money off of this. So that's.
You typically have economists from colleges or whatever uh-huh. for free, you know, but so is there a generic agreement that maybe we can all have? Or?
Sure. I mean, we could, yeah, I mean, I could find, we have tons of speakers' contracts. You know, with the stuff, yeah, I mean, I could definitely get Diana a basic speaker's contract. You can use it. You know, you just would, you know, fill in the blanks each time. And, you know, if there's anything special they're going to provide, you know, you'd address it. And things like this, you know, if they're going to be recorded, you know, things like that, you want to put that in there and get the permission to do that. And so if you're going to put it on your website or give it to SIOR, or if they're going to put it on YouTube, you know, all that kind of stuff you want to think about if you do that, I don't know if you do that, but you know, just things like that you'd want to put in there. Any other questions? Yes.
Is there a redacted version of everything that we have, or is this it?
For the insurance program?
Yeah.
So the question was, is there an overview or a more formal document describing the insurance coverages? Yeah, I mean, if you go to that, I put the URL here for the insurance program. So there, you know, the policy is on that page. There's also a Q&A, like a 12-page Q&A that goes through, you know, a lot of the stuff I talked about here. So that's there. That's sort of a, you know, dumbed-down version of what the policy says. So all the program documents are on the website, so you can download them and print them or do whatever you want with them. And like I said, you know, Diana, I don't know if you're here. Diana says she sends you the policy every year, so you'll receive that probably this January. Yep. Thank you.
We covered last night and this morning a little bit about the IRS issues and the look-backs and the go-backs and so forth. From the risk liability perspective on the insurance side, is there a federal statute or is it state-by-state in terms of look-back? As our chapters scramble now to get liability covered for those who don't have it yet, what's the look-back period for being sued from something that happened 2 or 3 years ago? Or is there not a...
That's a state. The statute of limitations, you know, is what it's in state law. Usually personal injury is fairly quick. I mean, it's like 2 years usually. I mean, it's gonna vary state by state. So, you know, it would depend where the, you know, alleged incident happened. So, yeah, and you know, insurance policies answer different ways. You know, so this policy we have, the NAR program, is a claims made policy. So, you know, so if you have a claims made liability policy, it covers all the claims when they're made. So even if you buy it now and the claim happened, you know, then the injury happened like a year ago, you know, you'd still have coverage because it doesn't matter that the claim was outside of the policy period. Some policies do cover specific periods, and so you have to read those carefully. And liability policies, you know, are generally very specific in what they will and will not cover. And, you know, and obviously, if you buy insurance and you knew about this claim coming, you know, they're going to deny that for sure. So, yes?
Could you cover the exclusions again, specifically the liability insurance?
Sure. So yeah, like I said, that's for the NAR program. You know, the NAR program has no liability coverage within it. So you know, it has no, you know, personal injury, the slip and fall. If something happens, you know, like a lot of our associations own buildings, you know, so if something happens on the premises, you know, a property related claim, those are not covered through our program. Those are the main things that aren't covered. There's other stuff that's excluded, which won't really be too relevant to what you guys are doing. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much.